A Method for Prayer, Learning to Pray, from the Scriptures, of the first part of prayer which is addressed to God, in adoration of Him, with suitable acknowledgments, professions, and preparatory requests, our spirits being composed into a very reverent, serious frame, our thoughts gathered in, and all that is within us charged in the name of the great God, carefully to attend the solemn and awful service that lies before us, and to keep close to it, we must, with a fixed attention and application of mind, in an active, lively faith, set the Lord before us, see His eye upon us, and set ourselves in His special presence, presenting ourselves to Him as living sacrifices, which we desire may be holy and acceptable, and a reasonable service, and then bind these sacrifices with cords to the horns of the altar. In such thoughts as these, let us stir ourselves up to take hold on God, to seek His face, and to give Him the glory due to His name. Unto Thee, O Lord, do we lift up our souls. Let us now with humble boldness enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, in a new and living way which He has consecrated for through the veil. Let us now attend upon the Lord without distraction, and let not our hearts be far from Him, when we draw nigh to Him with our mouths, and honor Him with our lips. Let us now worship God, who is a Spirit, in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship Him. Having thus engaged our hearts to approach to God, we must solemnly address ourselves to that infinitely great and glorious beings with whom we have to do, as those that are possessed with a full belief of His presence, and a holy awe and reverence of His majesty, which we may do in such expressions as these. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, O Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, and who art the Most High over all the earth, O God, Thou art our God, early will we seek Thee, our God, and we will praise Thee, our Father's God, and we will exalt Thee. You, who art the true God, the living God, the only living and true God, and the everlasting King, the Lord our God, who is one Lord. And we may thus distinguish ourselves from the worshippers of false gods, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, they are vanity and a lie, the work of men's hands, they that make them are like to them, and so is everyone that trusts in them. But the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is a former of all things. And Israel is a rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name, God over all, blessed forevermore. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For he is a rock of ages, the Lord Jehovah, with whom is everlasting strength, whose name shall endure forever, and his memorial to all generations. When the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from off the earth and from under these heavens, we must reverently adore God as a being transcendently bright and blessed, self-existent and self-sufficient, an infinite and eternal Spirit who has all perfections in Himself, and give Him the glory of His titles and attributes. O Lord our God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover Yourself with light, as with a garment, and yet as to us, make darkness Your pavilion, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. This is the message which we have heard of You, and we set to our seal that it is true, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, and that God is love, and they that dwell in love dwell in God, and God in them. You are the Father of light, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning, and from whom proceeds every good and every perfect gift. You are the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, who dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man has seen or can see. We must acknowledge his being to be unquestionable and past dispute. The heavens declare your glory, O God, and the firmament shows your handiwork, and by the things that are made is clearly seen and understood, your eternal power and Godhead, so that they are fools without excuse who say there is no God. For verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily there is a God that judges in the earth and in heaven too. We therefore come to you, believing that you are, and that you are the powerful and bountiful rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Yet, we must own his nature to be incomprehensible. We cannot by searching find out God. We cannot find out the Almighty to perfection. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise, and his perfections to be matchless and without compare? Who is a God like unto you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like you, or to your faithfulness round about you? Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, neither are there any works like your works, for you are great and do wondrous things. You are God alone. There is not any creature that has an arm like God, or can thunder with a voice like him. And that he is infinitely above us and all other beings. You are God, and not man. You don't have eyes of flesh, nor see as man sees. Your days are not as the days of man, nor your years as man's days. As heaven is high above the earth, so are your thoughts above our thoughts, and your ways above our ways. All nations before you, or as a drop of the bucket, or the small dust of the balance, and you take up the islands as a very little thing. They are as nothing, and are counted to you less than nothing, and vanity. Particularly in our adorations, we must acknowledge one, that he is an eternal God, immutable without beginning of days or end of life, or change of time. You are the King eternal, immortal, invisible, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Of old you have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall you change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. You are God, and change not. Therefore is it that we are not consumed. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord our God, our Holy One, the everlasting God, even the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, who faints not, neither are you weary. There is no searching out of your understanding. Next, that he is present in all places, and there is no place in which he is included, or out of which he is excluded. You are a God at hand, and a God afar off. None can hide himself in secret places that you cannot see him, for you feel heaven and earth. You are not far from every one of us. We cannot go anywhere from your presence or flee from your spirit. If we ascend into heaven, you are there. If we make our bed in hell, in the depths of the earth, behold, you are there. If we take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall your hand lead us, and your right hand shall hold us, that we cannot outrun you. Number 3, that he has a perfect knowledge of all persons and things, and sees them all, even that which is most secret, at one clear, certain, and unerring view. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, even the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. They run to and fro through the earth, that you may show yourself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are upright with you. You, search the heart, and try the reins, that you may give to every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. O God, you have searched us, and known us. You know our down sitting and our uprising, and understand our thoughts afar off. You compass our path and our lying down, and are acquainted with all our ways. There is not a word in our tongue, but, O Lord, you know it altogether. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is high, we cannot attain to it. Darkness and light are both alike to you. Number 4, that his wisdom is unsearchable, and the counsels and designs of it cannot be fathomed. Your understanding, O Lord, is infinite, for you tell the number of the stars, and call them all by their names. You are wonderful in counsel, excellent in working, wise in heart, and mighty in strength. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all according to the counsel of your own will. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Number 5, that his sovereignty is incontestable, and he is the owner and absolute Lord of all. The heaven, even the heavens are yours, and all the hosts of them. The earth is yours, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, and your hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is yours also. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands formed the dry land. All the beasts of the forest are yours, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. You are therefore a great God, a great king, above all gods. In your hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. Your dominion is an everlasting dominion, and your kingdom is from generation to generation. You do according to your will in the armies of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay your hand or say to you, "What are you doing?" Number 6, that his power is irresistible, and the operations of it cannot be controlled. We know, O God, that you can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from you. Power belongs to you, and with you nothing is impossible. All power is yours, both in heaven and earth. You kill, and you make alive. You wound, and you heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of your hand. What you have promised, you are able also to perform. Number 7, that he is a God of unspotted purity and perfect rectitude. You are holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Holy and reverent is your name, and we give thanks at the remembrance of your holiness. You are a purer eyes than to behold iniquity, neither shall evil dwell with you. You are the rock, your work is perfect, and all your ways are truth and judgment, a God of truth, and in whom there is no iniquity. You are our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in you. You are holy in all your works, and holiness becomes your house, O Lord, forever. Number 8, that he is just in the administration of his government, and never did, nor never will do wrong to any of his creatures. Righteous are you, O God, when we plead with you, and will be justified when you speak and clear, when you judge. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity, for the work of a man shall he render to him. Your righteousness is as the great mountains, even then when your judgments are a great deep, and no clouds and darkness are round about you, yet judgment and justice are the habitation of your throne. Number 9, that his truth is invariable, and the treasures of his goodness inexhaustible. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Your loving kindness is great towards us, and your truth endures to all generations. You have proclaimed your name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And this name of yours is our strong tower. You are good and do good, good to all, and your tender mercy is over all your works. But truly God in a special manner is good to Israel, even to them that are of a clean heart. Oh, that you would cause your goodness to pass before us, that we may taste and see that the Lord is good, and his loving kindness may be always before our eyes. Lastly, that when we have said all we can of the glorious perfections of the divine nature, we fall infinitely short of the merit of the subject. Lo, these are but parts of your ways, and how little a portion is heard of God, but the thunder of his power who can understand. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power, and in judgment, and in plenty of justice. He is exalted far above all blessing and praise. We must give to God the praise of that splendor and glory in which he is pleased to manifest himself in the upper world. You have prepared your throne in the heavens, and it is a throne of glory, high and lifted up, and before you the seraphims cover their faces. And it is in compassion to us that you hold back the face of that throne and spread a cloud upon it. You make your angels spirits, and your ministers a flame of fire. Thousands of them minister to you, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before you to do your pleasure. They excel in strength and hearken to the voice of your word, and we are come by faith and hope and holy love into a spiritual communion with that innumerable company of angels, and the spirits of just men made perfect, even to the general assembly and church of the firstborn in the heavenly Jerusalem. Number 4, we must give glory to him as the creator of the world, and the great protector, benefactor, and ruler of the whole creation. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive blessing and honor and glory and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure, and for your praise they are and were created. We worship him that made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the fountains of waters, who spake, and it was done, who commanded, and it stood fast, who said, let there be light, and there was light, let there be a firmament, and he made the firmament, and he made all very good, and he continued this day according to his ordinance, for all are his servants, the day is yours, the night also is yours, you have prepared the light, and the sun, you set all the borders of the earth, You have made the summer and the winter. You uphold all things by the word of your power, and by you all things consist. The earth is full of your riches, so is the great and wide sea also. The eyes of all wait upon you, and you give them their meat in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. You preserve man and beast. You give food to all flesh. You, even you, O Lord, alone, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are in it, the sea and all that is therein. And you preserve them all, and the host of heaven worships you, whose kingdom rules over all. A sparrow falls not to the ground without you. You made man at first of the dust of the ground, and breathed into him the breath of life. And so he became a living soul. And you have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and have determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation. You are the Most High, who rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever you will. For from you every man's judgment proceeds. Alleluia. The Lord God omnipotent reigns, and does all things according to the counsel of his own will, to the praise of his own glory. We must acknowledge our dependence on God, and our obligations to him as our Creator, Preserver, and Benefactor. You, O God, made us, and not we ourselves. And therefore we are not our own, but yours, your people, and the sheep of your pasture. Let us therefore worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. You, Lord, are the former of our bodies, and they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and curiously wrought. Your eye did see our substance, yet being imperfect, and in your book all our members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You have clothed us with skin and flesh. You have fenced us with bones and sinews. You have granted us life and favor, and your visitation preserves our spirit. You are the father of our spirits, for you formed the spirit of man within him, and made us these souls. The Spirit of God has made us, and the breath of the Almighty has given us life. You put wisdom in the inward part, and give understanding to the heart. You are God, our Maker, and teach us more than the beasts of the earth, and make us wiser than the fowls of heaven. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. You are he that took us out of the womb and kept us in safety when we were on our mother's breast. We've been cast upon you from the womb and held up by you. You are our God from our mother's bowels, and therefore our praise shall be continually of you. In you, O God, we live and move and have our being, for we are your offspring, and your hand our breath is. And yours are all our ways, for the way of man is not in himself, neither is it in man that walks to direct his steps, but our times are in your hand. You are the God that has fed us all our life long until this day, and redeemed us from all evil. It is of your mercies that we are not consumed. Even because your compassions do not fail, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If you take away our breath, we die and return to the dust out of which we were taken. Who is he that saith, and it comes to pass, if you command it not, out of your mouth, O Most High, evil and good does not proceed. Chapter 2 of the second part of prayer, which is, confession of sin, complaints of ourselves, and humble professions of repentance. Having given glory to God, which is His due, we must next take shame to ourselves, which is our due, and humble ourselves before Him in the sense of our own sinfulness and vileness. And in this also we must give glory to Him as our judge, by whom we deserve to be condemned, and yet hope through Christ to be acquitted and absolved. And as part of our work, we must acknowledge the great reason we have to lie very low before God, and to be ashamed of ourselves when we come into His presence, and to be afraid of His wrath, having made ourselves both odious to His holiness and liable to His justice. O our God, we are ashamed and blush to lift up our faces before You, our God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up to the heavens. To us belong shame and confusion of face, because we have sinned against You. Behold, we are vile. What shall we answer You? We will lay our hand upon our mouth, and put our mouth in the dust. If so be there may be hope, crying with the convicted leper under the law, unclean, unclean. You put no trust in Your saints, and the heavens are not clean in Your sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man who drinks iniquity like water? When our eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, we have reason to cry out, woe unto us, for we are undone. Dominion and fear are with You. You make peace in Your high places. There is not any number of Your armies. And upon whom does not Your light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? You, even You, are to be feared. And who may stand in Your sight when once You are angry? Even You, our God, are a consuming fire, and who knows the power of Your anger? If we justify ourselves, our own mouths shall condemn us. If we say we are perfect, that also shall prove us perverse. For if You contend with us, we are not able to answer You for one of a thousand. If we knew nothing by ourselves, yet were we not by this justified. For He that judges us is the Lord, who is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But we ourselves know that we ascend, Father, against heaven and before You, and are no more worthy to be called Your children. Number 2, we must take hold of the great encouragement God has given us to humble ourselves before Him with sorrow and shame, and to confess our sins. If You, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with You, that You may be feared. With You there is mercy, yea, with our God there is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. Your sacrifices, O God, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. Nay, though You are the high and lofty One that inhabitest eternity, whose name is holy, though the heaven be Your throne and the earth Your footstool, yet to this man will You look that is poor and humble, of a broken and a contrite spirit, and that trembles at Your word, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You have graciously assured us that though they that cover their sin shall not prosper, yet those that confess and forsake them shall find mercy. And when a poor penitent said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, He forgave the iniquity of his sin. And for this shall everyone that is godly in like manner pray to You in a time when You may be found. We know that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But you have said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 3, we must therefore confess and bewail our original corruption in the first place, that we were the children of apostate and rebellious parents, and the nature of man is depraved and wretchedly degenerated from its primitive purity and rectitude, and our nature is so. Lord, you made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions, and being in honor did not understand, and therefore did not abide, but became like the beasts that perish. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By that one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and we among the rest, we are a seed of evildoers. Our father was an Amorite, and our mother a Hittite, and we ourselves were called, and not miscalled, transgressors from the womb. And you knew we would deal very treacherously. The nature of man was planted a choice and noble vine, wholly a right seed, but it has become the degenerate plant of a strange vine, producing the grapes of Sodom and the clusters of Gomorrah. How is the gold become dim, and a most fine gold changed? Behold, we were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. For who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. We are by nature children of wrath, because children of disobedience, even as others. All flesh has corrupted their way. We are all gone aside. We are altogether become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. Number 4, we must lament our present corrupt dispositions to that which is evil, and our indisposedness to and impotency in that which is good. We must look into our own hearts and confess with holy blushing the blindness of our understandings and their ineptness to admit the rays of divine light. By nature, our understandings are darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us. Because of the blindness of our hearts, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We are wise to do evil, but to do good, we have no knowledge. We know not, neither do we understand. We walk on in darkness. God speaks once, yea, twice, but we perceive it not. But hearing, we hear and do not understand, and we see men as trees walking. We must confess the stubbornness of our wills and their ineptness to submit to the rules of the divine law. We have within us a carnal mind, which is enmity against God, and it's not in subjection to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You have written to us the great things of your law, but they have been accounted by us as a strange thing, and our corrupt hearts have been sometimes ready to say, who is the Almighty that we should serve him, and that we would certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouth. For we have walked in the way of our own heart and in the sight of our eyes, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Our neck has been an iron sinew, and we have made our heart as an adamant. We have refused to hearken, have pulled away the shoulder, and stopped our ears like the deaf adder that will not hearken to the voice of the charmer, charm he ever so wisely. How have we hated instruction, and our heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of our teachers, nor inclined our ear to them that instructed us. Next, We must confess the vanity of our thoughts, their neglect of those things which they ought to be conversant with, and dwelling upon those things that are unworthy of them and tend to corrupt our minds. Every imagination of thoughts of our heart is evil, only evil, and that continually, and it has been so from our youth. Oh, how long have those vain thoughts lodged within us, though thoughts of foolishness which are sin. From within, out of our hearts, proceed evil thoughts, which devise mischief upon the bed, and carry the heart with the fool's eyes into the ends of the earth. But God is not in all our thoughts. It is well if he be in any of them. Of the rock that beget us, we have been unmindful, and have forgotten the God that formed us. We have forgotten him days without number, and our hearts have walked after vanity and become vain. Our inward thought, having been that our house should continue forever, this is our way, is our folly. Number 4, the carnality of our affections. They're being placed upon wrong objects and carried beyond due bounds. We have set those affections on things beneath, which should have been set on things above, where our treasure is, and where Christ sits on the right hand of God, the things which we should seek. We have followed after lying vanities, and forsaken our own mercies, have forsaken the fountain of living waters, for cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. We have panted after the dust of the earth, and have been full of care for what we shall eat, and what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed, the things after which the Gentiles seek, in the righteousness thereof. We have lifted up our souls unto vanity, and set our eyes upon that which is not, and have looked at the things that are seen which are temporal, but the things that are eternal have been forgotten and postponed. Next, we must confess the corruption of the whole man, irregular appetites towards all things that are pleasing to our senses, and inordinate passions against all things that are displeasing, and an alienation of the mind from the principles, powers, and pleasures of the spiritual and divine life. We are born of the flesh, and we are flesh. We are dust. We have borne the image of the earthly, and in us, that is, in our flesh, dwells no good thing. For if the will is present with us, yet how to perform that which good we find not? For the good which we would do, we do it not. And the evil which we would not do, that we do. We have a law in our members warring against the law of our mind, and bringing us into captivity to the law of sin that is in our members, so that when we would do good, evil is present with us. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is in us a bent to backslide from the living God. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know them? They start aside like a broken bow. Next, we must lament and confess our omissions of our duty, our neglect of it, and our trifling in it, and that we have done so little since we came into the world, of the great work we were sent into the world about. So very little to answer the end of our creation, or of our redemption, of our birth, and of our baptism, and that we have profited no more by the means of grace. O Lord, we have been as fig trees planted in the vineyard, and you have come many years seeking fruit from us, but have found none, and therefore we might justly be cut down, and cast into the fire for cumbering the ground. You have come looking for grapes, but behold wild grapes, for we have been empty vines, bringing forth fruit to ourselves. We have known to do good, but have not done it. We have hid our Lord's money, and therefore deserve the doom of the wicked and slothful servant. We have been unfaithful stewards and have wasted our Lord's goods, for one sinner destroys much good. Many a price has been put into our hands to get wisdom, which we have had no heart to. Our heart has been at our left hand. Our childhood and youth was vanity, and we have brought our years to an end. It's a tale that is told. We have not known or improved the day of our visitation. We have not provided meat in summer, nor gathered food in harvest, though we have had guides, overseers, and rulers. We are slow of heart to understand and believe, and whereas for the time we might have been teachers of others, we are yet to learn the first principles of the oracles of God, and have need of milk, and cannot bear strong meat. We have cast off fear, and restrained prayer before God. We have not called upon your name, nor stirred up ourselves to take hold on you. We have come before you as your people come, and have sat before you as your people sit, and have heard your words, when our hearts at the same time have been going after our covetousness. And us we have brought the torn and the lame, and the sick, for sacrifice, have offered that to our God which we would not offer to our governor, and have vowed and sacrificed to the Lord a corrupt thing, when we had in our flocks a male. Number 7, we must likewise bewail our many actual transgressions in thought, word, and deed. Our Father in heaven, we have sinned, and before you we have all sinned, and come short of your glory. For to God in whose hand our breath is, and whose are all our ways, we have not glorified against you. You only have we sinned, and done much evil in your sight. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he has set before us, though they are all holy, just, and good. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse us from secret faults. In many things we all offend, and our iniquities are more than the hairs of our head. As a fountain casts out her waters, so do our hearts cast out wickedness. And this has been our manner from our youth up, that we have not obeyed your voice. Out of the evil treasure of our hearts, we have brought forth many evil things. We also must confess and bewail the working of pride in us. Lord, we have all reason to be humble for the pride of our hearts, yet we have thoughts of our own selves above what has been fitting, and have not thought soberly, nor walked humbly with our God. We have leaned to our own understanding, and trusted in our own heart, and have sacrificed to our own net. We have sought our own glory more than the glory of him that sent us, and have been puffed up for that which we should have mourned. Number 2, we must confess our breaking out of passion and rash anger. Lord, we have not had the rule which you ought to have had over our spirits, which have therefore been a city that is broken down and has no walls. We have been soon angry, and anger has rested in our bosom, and when our spirits have been provoked, we have spoken unadvisedly with our lips, and we have been guilty of that clamor and bitterness which should have been put from us. Number 3, our covetousness and love of the world. Our conversation has not been without covetousness, nor have we learned in every state to be content with such things as we have. Who can say that he is clean from that love of money which is the root of all evil, that covetousness which is idolatry? We have sought great things to ourselves, when you have said, seek them not. Number 4, our sensuality and flesh pleasing. Lord, we have minded the things of the flesh more than the things of the spirit, and have lived in pleasure on the earth, and have been wanton, and have nourished our hearts as in a day of slaughter. We have made provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts of it, even those lusts which war against our souls, and in many instances have acted as if we had been lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When we did eat, and we did drink, did we not eat to ourselves and drink to ourselves? Number 5. Our security and mindfulness of the changes we are liable to in this world. Lord, we have put far from us the evil day, and in our prosperity have said we should never be moved, as if tomorrow must needs be as this day, and much more abundant. We have encouraged our souls to take their ease, to eat, and drink, and be merry, as if we had goods laid up for many years, when perhaps this night our souls may be required of us. We have been ready to trust in uncertain riches, more than in the living God, to say to the gold, you are our hope, and to the fine gold, you are our confidence. Number 6, our fretfulness and impatience and murmuring under our afflictions, our inordinate dejection and distress of God and His providence. When you have chastised us, we were chastised. We have been as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, and our own foolishness has perverted our way. Yet our heart has fretted against the Lord, and thus in our distress have we trespassed yet more against the Lord. We have either despised the chastening of the Lord, or fainted when we have been rebuked of Him. And if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. We have said in our haste, we are cast off from before your eyes, and that the Lord has forsaken us, or God has forgotten us, as if God would be favorable no more, as if He had forgotten to be gracious, and had in anger shut up His tender mercies. This has been our infirmity. Confessing the sins of our tongue, Lord, in the multitude of our words there wanteth not sin, nor can a man full of talk be justified, while the lips of the righteous feed many. Our lips have poured out foolishness, and spoken forwardness. Much corrupt communication has proceeded out of our mouths, that foolish talking and jesting, which is not convenient, and little of that which is good unto the use of edifying, and which might minister grace to the hearers. If for every idle word that men speak, they must give an account, and if by our words we must be justified, and by our words we must be condemned, woe to us, for we are undone. For we are of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What would become of us if God should make our tongues to fall upon us? Number 9. Confessing our spiritual slothfulness and spiritual decay. Lord, we have been slothful in the business of religion, and not fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The things which remain are ready to die, and our works have not been found perfect before God. We have observed the winds, have regarded the clouds, and therefore have not reaped, and with a sluggard have frighted ourselves with the fancy of a lion in the way, a lion in the streets, and have turned on our bed as the door on the hinges, still crying, a little sleep, a little slumber. We have lost our first love, and were now as a blessedness which we sometimes speak of Jesus. Our goodness has been as a morning cloud and the early dew that passes away. And that which is at the bottom of it all is the evil heart of unbelief in us, which inclines us to depart from the living God.